This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Hello, and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from the shivering cold abides here at in downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland, where winter has made another guest appearance, apparently. And with me, as always, this week is herself live to tape from beautiful Centerville, Virginia. It's the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yeah. Happy Sunday.
Happy cold Sunday. Yeah. Happy return to winter.
Over this and the allergies.
Yeah. I heard you told me you were a little under the weather. So I appreciate your coming on and making a go of it.
Yeah, no worries. It's the last Sunday going into this three and a half day work week, then spring break. So it's all
nice. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, all right. Well, so we had four games played this week. Let's just go ahead and jump right into it. Before we do, of course, this is our last full week of Women's History Month. So we have another special guest coming on with us to help us go over the games and tell her story about being a woman involved in hockey, and a little bit different perspective because this young lady is also involved in the Black Girl Hockey Club. You probably know her very well if you follow her on Twitter. She is Fatu Ba. Fatu, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. Pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Let's get to know you a little bit here. So this being your first time on with us, how did you get started being into hockey, being a hockey fan and a Caps fan?
Sure. So I am from DC, so I support all teams DC for better or for worse. When I was living in DC, I really just wasn't introduced to hockey. I didn't know anybody who watched hockey, so I didn't either. But in moving to New York, I had a friend that I would watch football with. And then one day he just said to me, why don't you come watch Caps hockey with me? And all I knew was Alex Ovechkin and the puck was black. And that really was the extent of my hockey knowledge. So I went and I watched, and I saw Alexander Semin taking a face-off, and I was like, who is this guy? And it was that moment that I fell in love with Caps hockey. And it was fun because it was playoffs, and we actually eliminated the Rangers, but then we got swept by Tampa Bay, and I was like, wait a minute, this isn't so fun. But I stayed with it, and the moment I saw Joel Ward win in Boston, I literally was hooked and was like, wait a minute, I did not realize we had a black man on this team. This game needs to get slower for me so that I can actually understand it. And from then on, I really started to understand and love Caps hockey.
Sweet.
Nice. It takes someone it means just so much more. And that's why we have to have people of color involved more, but it means so much more when you have someone that looks like you be a participant of the game and show you what the game's all about. And you're right. Who better than Joel Ward? I've always said he's always been one of my favorites, especially when he put in that overtime goal against Boston. I will always love him for that.
Absolutely. Even though, thank God, we finally won a cup, I still put his goal in top 10 Caps goals.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He is that goal is definitely top three in my book. for all time.
Yeah, it was very.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying it was very special.
Oh, very, very much so. Very, very much so. At least for a lot of us, because not a whole lot of people gave the Caps a chance to win it, and I think he symbolized the Caps' determination over long odds that year. So I was very, very happy when he scored that goal. All right. So are you back in D.C. now? Or are you still in New York?
I live in New York, but I visit D.C. all the time. I kept my D.C. number, so I will forever be a D.C. girl, but I do live in New York.
Awesome. So what brought you out there, if I may ask?
Sure. College. And I essentially stayed. I wish it was a more fun story, but it really is as simple as I came here for college and I liked it enough to stay.
Nice. And you've okay. So ever since the Young Guns days, you've been into the Caps ever since, pretty much, sounds like.
Absolutely. I can't quit them. And it's been a fun roller coaster ride. One of my favorite moments, honestly, as a Caps fan, obviously, is the Stanley Cup run, because the folks that I watch it with, all of them have been fans since birth. So there's so many experiences they have that I don't. Like, even when we went to the Cup final, and they're like, you know, last time we went was 1998, The Boy Is Mine is the number one song. And I'm like, I remember The Boy Is Mine. I remember what I was doing. I had no idea the Caps were in the final that year. That's just how like, so hockey. But as you know, once we got out the second round, we're all witnessing history together. Like, first time now, like, Ovechkin got out the second round. Like, it was just fun that I felt like I was finally on the same level as my friends, even though they don't see it like that. Because, you know, if you're a fan, you're a fan. It doesn't matter when you came. But it was just fun watching, like, history together as one, and we all are experiencing it at the same time.
Absolutely. I could not. Yeah. Sorry, Anna. Go ahead.
No. I'm 100% on board with that. I love it. There's something better than sitting with fans and friends and rooting for your team.
Oh, it was incredible. Oh, I was actually, I had brunch yesterday, but I was almost late to brunch because somehow I got in the rabbit hole of watching 2018 highlights on YouTube. And I was like, uh-oh, I'm going to be late.
So, yeah. I think I can watch the Holtby save about a million times and Ovechkin's face and be like, oh my God, like we were Absolutely. All there.
Absolutely.
Love yeah, I think you made a great point just now, Fatu, in that it brought all Caps fans together. It didn't matter if you followed from day one in 1974 till now or till that year. It brought all Caps fans together as one in that finally, they got through and not only got past the second round, but into the final and won that cup. And of course, it is all great to see Ovechkin lift that cup and then take DC for the party of a lifetime. So that was awesome to see. Okay, so last question before we get into the games. Of course, I'd like to ask. Well, you said recently you're a student, but kind of a joke question that I have. What do you do for the almighty paycheck?
Oh, I am a marketer at an advertising technology company. Which is pretty fun and I feel a very New York job because there's all these like companies that you've probably never heard of, but work with incredible clients and I'm on the marketing team. So I just got back from Georgia from our client summit, which was our first client summit in 2 years that was in person because of the pandemic. It's really fun. But I realized I was like, oh, I'm a little bit older. I'm exhausted. A week of being away to work at an event is very exhausting. But it was so much fun.
I can imagine. And you seem to have quite the personality for that. So yeah, I think that's a 110% perfect fit for you.
Thank you. I can definitely
see you doing that.
I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So we'll talk more later towards the end about what your experiences are as being a woman involved in hockey. But first, let's run down the games. There were four this week. Two not so good. Two that were a lot better. And so the first one was this past Sunday, when we normally record, but we didn't. because of that game. So let's get it out of the way, because it wasn't too bad of a game. It was a 2-3 loss.
I didn't think that was that bad for some strange reason.
No, it wasn't that bad. I mean, the moral of the story in this game was just the Caps just took too long to get started.
Yeah.
That's really all that went wrong. It wasn't that bad a game. And yeah, the refereeing could have been, the officiating could have been a lot better, but that really wasn't why they lost at the end of the day. So, it just took them too long. It took them a whole period to get into the game, but, that's...
I personally forgive them for this game because I was mesmerized, and I feel they were mesmerized by Braden Holtby in the suit and the beauty and just all the hoopla around it, so I get it. So I do forgive them for that game simply for that reason.
Very, very true. What we're talking about here, in case you missed it, was this was Braden Holtby, although he was on the injured list. This was Braden Holtby's first return to DC as someone on the opposing team ever since he left DC and was no longer a Capital. And of course, they gave him, I think it was about halfway through the first period, they gave him that wonderful stirring video tribute, and they showed him on the bench, and he was obviously fighting emotions and tears, and it was really, really great to see. And it was actually a prolonged standing ovation for Cap 1 for him. Shades of I'm showing my age here. This is actually a little before my time, but shades of when Eddie Jockeman came back to New York as a Red Wing after all those years of playing for as a New York Ranger. It was kind of like that. If you know your hockey history, it was really, really emotional, and it electrified the building for a good 10-15 minutes. I think some of the vet Caps kind of felt that, and I was like, well, this is kind of odd. This is kind of weird. And maybe because of that, to your point, Fatu, they had maybe a little bit of a hard time getting into the game, but once they got past the first period, I think they were okay. Let's run down the scoring summary real quick here. Speaking of that first period, 2:17 in the first, Alexander Radulov with his fourth, opened the scoring on kind of a weird shot that deflected. Then no scoring until 17:55. Stars got a power play. Rupe Hintz, remember that name, got his 24th. Jason Robertson, J-Rob, one of my favorites, because he's an Asian-American, on the assist on that one. Also, Joe Pavelski on the secondary assist. Power play goal for the Stars. That brought him up 2-0, and that ended the scoring in the second. Until the second, until the Caps got their own power play, and captain himself, Alex Ovechkin, got his 40th, his 12th ever, or 12th consecutive, or 12th ever, I can't remember, 40-goal season. Carlson and Kuznetsov on the assist on that one, each their 41st assists for that one. And so that was 4:53 into the second, making it 2-1. And then Rupe Hintz strikes again on their own power play 6 minutes later, 10:38 in the second, making it 3-1. That would eventually be the winning goal. And the Caps put up a heck of a fight here in the second and the third. If you see the shot count for those, 15 shots on goal for the Caps in the second, 14 in the third. So they really woke up in the second after they shook off that rust. But it was a little too little, too little too late. Orlov got him within one midway through the third at 8:56 on a wrister, assisted by Tom Wilson, his 24th. More on him later on in the week. Too little too late. Orlov didn't have too bad a game. I thought the goaltending stood up. But again, the slow start doomed them, and it goes back to what you and I always say: 60 minutes of hockey, and that means you play from the first whistle. So
yeah, I did not like this game. excuse me for the allergies again. It just they came out slow, and you just kind of you can't help but get frustrated, and I expected more, and I kind of think that they fell a little bit flat, at least the first half. And then, yeah, if you're not going to come out strong, especially, you know, going up against some of those guys on Dallas, then yeah, we didn't deserve a win. So whatever, it is what it is. It was not my favorite game of the week.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know if you can call this a trap game, because Dallas is actually a pretty good team. They're actually pretty much the same place we are in the opposite conference. They're fighting for a playoff spot too. So I think it was a case where Dallas just wanted it more and just were more ready to play from the get go. But it is what it is. And you know, you hate to lose in regulation, but it was what it was. And you know, onward we go. So the next game that was played was that Tuesday. And I'm just going to blitz through this real, real fast, because I'm just going to draw a line right through it, because I'm not going to say the Caps weren't ready to play. I'm going to say that St. Louis really, really wanted this game, because
100%.
Yeah, they were actually in something of a tailspin. They were trying to right the ship. They're fighting for first place in their division. So, yeah, they were kind of ticked off to start, because they've been losing the last few games, and they were kind of figuring out what was wrong. They were ready from the get-go, and it showed. And yeah, even though Caps got the first goal, Kuznetsov his 22nd, Carlson and Wilson on the assists on the power play, that's the start you wanted. But then, now, St. Louis answered fairly quickly 3 minutes later. Brandon Saad his 19th. And then the first period was pretty good. And then the second period, St. Louis just took it to another level, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The Blues just, you know, ramped it up from there. Wilson answered Saad's goal, his 19th. Mantha on the assist there brought the Caps up 2-1, and then that was pretty much it. Blues got another power play, tied it to all, 15 in the first. Ryan O'Reilly, his 14th. Saad and David Perron on the assist in that one. Yeah, and then, like I said, from the second period on, St. Louis turned on the Jets, and the Blues were off and flying. By the way, if you watch
Nathan
the Blues...
Walker.
Yeah, well, just getting to him, but if you watch the Blues power play, that is how every power play should work, the way the Blues did it. Nobody's standing around.
Exactly.
People moving the puck, people shooting the puck a lot. That's how you play the power play.
Shooting the puck.
Right.
That's like the key phrase. I mean, I think I lost my shit on social media when, you know, like a little angry emoji of just like shoot the puck. I was getting a little fired up, because yeah, when they come in and they do it so gracefully and quick, it's like, all right. That's how you're supposed to do it, but
right. Right, exactly.
You hope to take the tips from there. That's what you hope.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought I heard Joe B and Locker say they're like number one on the road.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, and you saw why. So,
with that game, it was just so frustrating to me, because the Devils did a favor by scoring a touchdown against the Rangers. And it's just like, hey guys, if you want to stay in the number two wild card spot, fine, but we're given the opportunity to like get some traction, and we just did not take advantage of that.
Yeah, you're right. It was a gift. They could have moved up in the standings. It was a golden opportunity to get closer to the Rangers and the Penguins. And yeah, it just didn't happen. They just didn't. It was frustrating. It was just, they did not have the level of compete needed, and St. Louis did. And I give them credit. Caps could have played better, but I give them credit. I don't think anything they had would have been better, to be honest. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, they were ready. They wanted that game.
Most certainly. Most definitely. Yeah. So on to the second period we go. The gentleman that Anna just mentioned, Nathan Walker, with his 5th, which would turn out to be the game winner, Braden Schenn, Colton Parayko, and assists on that one, 10:31 in the second. And yeah, like I said, that was pretty much it. Blues ran away with it after that. Braden Schenn would score 7 minutes later with his 18th, Kyrou and Buchnevich with the assists on that one. And then David Perron ices it with the empty netter, 30 seconds left in the game, making it 5-2. And that was all she wrote. And like I said, we're not going to go too much into this game because clearly St. Louis was the better team. And the one thing with me was I was hoping that since this was back-to-back regulation losses, the Caps weren't going to fall back into whatever that funk was that affected them all through January and February. So even though the next game was against somebody struggling in the standings, you know, you still wondered how they'd come out. So now we'll see about that. And plus this game was the first of a back-to-back. So you want to try when you're in that situation, you want to try and hold back some energy. So it was kind of questionable as to what kind of effort we get. So the next game was up in Buffalo. Quick trip up north for one road game up there against the Sabres. Starting the scoring was Anthony Mantha, Ant-Man, his seventh. Nick Backstrom, his 19th.
Sorry, I was going to say he's a beast. I'm loving Mantha these days.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying I'm so happy he's back.
Yep. Big old shift with the chemistry on the lines, I think.
Yeah, I think we said something a couple weeks ago about him and Wilson being on a dream line with insert center here, whether it be Backstrom or Kuznetsov. And that line, I love that line. I kind of hate that Wilson's not on the first line anymore, but him and Mantha clearing bodies away and creating chances, gotta love that. Gotta love that.
It's a beautiful sight.
Oh, so it is. So that line instantly clicked when it was played 9:15 in the first. So put the Caps up 1-0. And this was kind of a weird game in that I don't know that the Caps expected Buffalo to put up as much of a fight as they did. They should have, because their last few games were close. But this team's got some fight in them, and they're not anywhere near as bad as they were, say, this time last year. Definitely. So you know, it's not like that you expect them to lose anymore.
Those are the games I worry with the Caps when you like don't take someone serious. And I was like, Buffalo is not that team I feel that way about, and I feel like we kind of learned that on Friday.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is where we thought New Jersey would be this year. They're actually improving, and they've added some names, some veteran names, and some younger names to their roster. And they're only been trending up these last couple months. They're probably gonna contend for a playoff spot next year. I would not be surprised if they do some damage next year.
Agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so 15:49, the first, getting back to the scoring, Jeff Skinner, his 25th, Tage Thompson on the assist there, ties it 1-1. On to the second we go. Nick Jensen, was this the goal where he just blasted it from the top of the circle? I think it was.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this was a beauty. He just rocketed it towards a goal, and it made its way in. Orlov and Sherry on the assist there, 4:06 in the second, put them up 2-1. Skinner again would answer. Marcus Samuelson with the assist on that one. So we're 10:23 in the second and tied. Victor Olofsson put the Sabres up 3-2, and now we're thinking, oh, no, could this be another regulation loss? At least that's what I was thinking. And then 4 minutes later comes the I'm loving this. This is I call this the Office 2.0, but the goal from the face-off.
That was incredible.
From Ovechkin, his 41st. Kuznetsov with the assist, of course, as he won the face-off, draws it back, and then Ovechkin lines himself up. Now, the guy who clears the path in front should get a secondary assist, but of course, since he never touches the puck, he won't. But in one case, I'm not sure if in this case it might have been Wilson on this play, but in another case, the last time he did this, it was Sherry. And but yeah, that Alan May pointed this out. This is key when you have the guy, you have the winger clear out the body so in front so that you have a clear path to the goal. And everybody doing their job right on the faceoff only takes a few seconds. So we're tied 3-3 in this game. Third period, no goals. And then we went to the skills competition. Everybody knows how much I hate the shootout. Well, this one I actually kind of enjoyed a little bit, I have to admit.
This was incredible.
Yeah. I can't find the words for this. Fell behind 1-0 in the first round, and then Kuznetsov took over. Holy hell. 10 seconds or 10 deeks, 10 moves, 10 whatever.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I don't know how many it was, but I'd never seen anything like that in my life.
Mm-mm. It's awesome.
That, in tears, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, if I could have picked up my jaw from the ground, I would have been laughing too. But I just was just in total shock from what I saw, because that was just crazy. But that 10 move deke and then the shuffle in the goal ties it. And then on the last round, pardon me, save of the Alex Tuck shot. And speaking of Tuck,
God.
Alex Ovechkin tucks in the backhander just as he did in Carolina about a week and a half ago and wins it. So pretty good game this one. Pretty good back and forth, I'd like to say. Buffalo didn't get a whole lot of shots. And, you know, we talk about the quote-unquote goalie controversy. So some guys were kind of, you know, giving it to Sammy because he was letting in, you know, goals. But I think maybe one of these, looking back, was something he would have, you know, wanted back. I think the others, he just wasn't a whole lot he could do, honestly. And but when he's the classic money goalie, when the chips are down and he has to make that save, more often than not, he's going to make that game-saving save. So I tip my hat to him. He's, of course, he didn't get one of the three stars, but had it not been for him, I think this could have easily have been a loss, because Buffalo had a lot of high danger chances that the Caps defense didn't clear out very well. And when it came down to it, he saved it when he had to. And had it not been for that, it wouldn't have gone to overtime and it wouldn't have been a win. So I got to give him credit. Now, I know a lot of guys are down on him. And right now, yes, he's played himself into the number two slot. But, you know, when you really need him, I found that he's actually pretty good. He's been there when he's been needed. So I'm not all that uncomfortable with him getting the start every two or three games or four games.
So. You are very, very sweet.
Fatu, what do you think? What do you think of Sammy overall?
This is what I will say. I was really hoping and was okay with the Dallas loss, because clearly a fan or somebody would have grabbed Braden and kept him in D.C. That's yep. What my hope was. I know we're asking about Sammy, but that's my thought. You know, I probably wanted the ones that are a little harder on him, but I call it like tough love, because obviously I love everybody on our team. You know, I mean, look, Vitek is our starter. And to your point, yeah, Vitek needs a break. So I'm not like shivering now when, you know, I see Sammy out there. But, you know, I just know he can be better than he is, and he'll get there. He's young.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he has more than another level in him. I think the Caps saw something in him, obviously. Otherwise, they would not have spent a first-round pick on him. So he's got a ton of potential. I actually think his ceiling is a lot higher than Vanecek's. Even though, for many weeks now, Vanecek's overall game is more solid. It's more well-rounded. Thus, he's the number one. But you know, Sammy's got a ways to go, though. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was about to say, I think it is very interesting. Like, the trade deadline came and went, and we did not choose to, you know, or we did not get a goalie. So hopefully there's something they see come playoff time that we're not going to be, like, kicking ourselves saying we should have really tried harder on a veteran goalie.
Well, I think the market kind of dictated that a little bit, but also at the same time, I think, like you, just like you said, Fatu, I think maybe they see something in that that it's worth investing more time and hoping they both mature going forward. Anna, you sounded like you wanted to say something about that as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that they, you know, McClellan and Laviolette, you know, everybody definitely sees something more in Sammy than the fans do, but we have to remember who he was when he was, when he first came on the scene and he stepped up and everyone was like, oh my God, who's this guy? Bench Holtby, you know, like this, we're going to ride this. And everyone was pro Sammy, me included. I mean, I thought he came in great. I think what unfortunately happened is, you know, a couple COVID fuck ups for, you know, two times and making poor choices, that he lost that fan base and that trust that I think he has to earn the fans back more than VTech has to. So there's a little bit more love with Vanacek than there is for Sammy, but the talent is there. I just think, unfortunately, he's got to win the fan base over.
That's exactly it, at least for me, because, you know, the love, I mean, first of all, VTech strangely gives me Holtby vibes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My fandom, the most of my hockey fandom was discovering Holtby. You know, I was there when we moved on to Holtby and how he surprised us in the playoffs. And we're like, okay, we have a goalie now. And VTech gives me those vibes too, because we weren't even supposed, he wasn't even supposed to be there because everybody was saying, all right, Sammy's it. Let's bench Braden, which I was never that, because I would never speak negatively of Braden. I don't care what the numbers are.
Yeah, agree.
But
there is something, I mean, as a fan as well, Fatu, do you see that for some reason, and Gil and I have talked about this, so many times, but however, do you see the players play differently with VTech between the pipes versus Sammy?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But I'm a huge VTech. I do. And it is a little frustrating, but, you know, we'll get there.
I think he has that Braden easygoing, good vibe about him. And I think that's why I've been a big supporter of his as well, because I think he brings a calmness, knowing that he's on the ice with the players. They just seem to play differently. And it's not saying that they're throwing the game when Sammy's playing, but there's just seems to be, I don't know, a calmness. And I think Braden was always so zen about everything. And I think VTech's pretty chill himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the both of you raise a great point with that. I'm going to, over the course of these last dozen and a half games or so, I am going to try like heck, if I have to watch video and break it down, watch the games to find out what it is that difference is where the guys in front of him just play differently. But I've noticed that myself, and darned if I can't put a finger on why, but I'm going to figure out, well, if not why, then what it is, because it's baffling and frustrating, really, because they shouldn't be.
Okay.
And yet they are. All right. So that was Friday night's game. And now on to the second of the back-to-back, which was last night, back home in the friendly confines of Capital One against the New Jersey Devils, who another team that's, really, really fast, got a lot of young talent. They got a lot of people that can hurt you in a lot of different ways. I don't think their standings appropriately reflect what they can do. I'm not sure what's really wrong with them. I think probably what they need is a true number one goaltender. And that might be the piece of the puzzle that they're missing. But in any case, this had all the makings of a trap game. because of all that. And pardon me, given the start, well, actually, there were no goals in the first period. But given how kind of slowly it started anyway, and how evenly the Devils seemed to play them, I was kind of thinking that that would be what would happen. Well, second period, Jack Hughes, his 22nd, puts it in. Sharangovich and Mercer on the assist on that one. 55 seconds into the into this period. You never want to see that. So that's the bizarro nugget, McNugget minute where that happens. You never want to see that. First minute, last minute of the period, you never want to give up a goal because that just sets the tone really badly. But fortunately, less than 2 minutes later, Tom Wilson, yet another 20-goal season for him. Sherry and Carlson on the assist for that one. So, you know, for a guy that a lot of people like to say would never have amounted to anything, that's what, his second, third, 20-goal season? That ain't bad.
No, it's not. I mean, we're
to have him. And I always was a fan of Tom Wilson since his days when he finally came in that Ranger game and something was wrong with his skate. I have always been a Tom Wilson fan. So this is no surprise.
Oh yeah, no surprise.
I too have been a huge Tom Wilson fan from the beginning.
Yes, we are definitely Tom Wilson lovers on this show and always have been, from the day he started till the day he made the top line and ever since. So if you've actually been watching the game, as I like to say, then his getting another 20 goal season should not come as a surprise because he's got that talent.
Absolutely.
Okay, so he ties it. Okay, so we're still in the second period. Damon Severson makes it 2-1 Devils, 7:17 in the second, and that's how that period would end. I didn't think the game was lost. I was feeling kind of bad, but I didn't think the game was lost. It was 20 minutes to go. I thought the Caps had some fight in them. They were playing pretty well. Had playing with a lot of energy despite playing the night before. So I figured that was a good sign. They didn't disappoint. 2:08 in the next period. Connor McMichael, and we've been ragging on him for a while, but I think he's starting to show what he can do. He's finally getting to that point where, okay, this is the guy we drafted with that first pick those years ago, and this is the guy we expected to see. He's finally getting there, and he showed it with this goal. Quick little snapper. He fought his way into position. He was on the far side of the net. Carlson slows it down. He took the pass. Gets it over to Schultz, who makes a perfect slap pass. And talk about tic-tac-toe. McMichael had just gotten there, parked himself on the open end of the net, and just snapped it on in. And ever since they put him at center instead of making him play the wing, I think that's been the difference. Ever since he's been put there, that's more of his natural position. He's kind of thrived. So I kind of hope that they leave him there. And I think long term, what you're probably going to end up seeing is that he's probably going to end up being the long term replacement for, it's killing me to say this, Lars Eller, I think Lars Eller only has like 2 years left on his contract, and I don't know if they're going to re-sign him, but I think they're grooming him for that spot to be his long-term replacement.
Well,
at least that's my observation anyway. Go ahead.
I was saying I see that too. Yeah.
I was really glad to see that because, you know, like I said, we've been picking on him a little bit because he just didn't look like, you know, he knew what he was doing out in the ice, didn't know, you know, how he was supposed to be playing and all that. I think putting him back in center has kind of, you know, flipped the light switch on and just made him fire on all cylinders. So I'm hoping he stays there at least for the foreseeable future anyway. Okay. So after that tied the game, then came probably the greatest moment in a long, long time.
Yes.
Nick, Nick Backstrom, his sixth, and this, by the way, this was his night. They had the celebration, the ceremony to celebrate his scoring his 1,000th point. And they gave him the gold stick for that and all kinds of gifts. And his family was there and they were in the VIP suite watching. And it was the giveaway where all the fans got this apple with the Nicky logo on it, commemorating the event. Well, those apples, as soon as Nicky scored the goal, went from their hands all the way on down to the Capital Center ice, or Capital One ice, Arena ice. Sorry, and it was like the world's worst ball hockey tournament had exploded or something. this was really, really fun to see. So I think of course it deserves a replay. So I'm going to call up the video. Fatu, were you live at this game or did you see it on NBC Sports DC?
I was watching on TV. I would have loved to go back for that game, but I was like, well, I couldn't make it, so I watched it. But that was a moment that I wish I was there for.
Yeah, absolutely. The place went about as electric as when Ovechkin took third place in the goal scoring lead. Okay, so I got the replay going here. So Mantha bats it out of the air, puts it on his stick, finds Backstrom, who fires it from the left circle, and it goes in, and Capital One just goes absolutely crazy. And this was just so. Yeah, watching Backstrom, he gets himself open so effortless the way he skates. That's probably one of my most favorite things about him is the way he skates and gets himself open. And I didn't notice that before. So he opens himself for the shot. Tom Wilson actually had the screen, but kind of at the very last second, he stepped out of the way. And I think that kind of fooled the goalie a little bit. And it made its way in. And then of course it was raining down, apples, after that. And, that was the one that got me to laugh. And cause that was just absolutely crazy. And then of course both benches emptied to clean everything up, but it was funny. It was awesome. It was again one of those moments that made you glad to be a Caps fan, made you forget about, you know, whatever bad was going on in front of you before that.
And we got to see Ovi give him an apple and he bit into it. That was incredible.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
It's like, I love, you know, and look at us. We're nice fans. We're throwing apples. We're not throwing bracelets or whatever the Flyers threw during the playoff series. Like, we're nice. They're foam apples. They're not going to hurt anybody.
Well, see, the difference with that was it was after a goal and not during play. So
yes.
Right. So that's the difference. So you had less chance of anyone getting hurt. But it was, I'll never forget the sight of all of those things hitting the ice. I never will. And, you know, even though that wasn't, it would have been fitting if that was the game winning goal. Unfortunately, as I'm about to reveal here in a few seconds, it wasn't. But even so, the Caps got the win. And I think it's safe to say that everyone watching the game, whether you were in the arena or not, lived happily ever after.
Good one.
Previews of coming attractions. Yes, I know. I can hear you groaning, Anna. Okay. All right. So that was 6:56 into the third. Caps would get a power play about 4.5 minutes later. And then about a minute into that, Ovechkin would convert again, hit for his 42nd, Kuznetsov and Backstrom again with an apple of his own, his 20th on the assist there, making it 4-2. That one would actually end up being the game winner. About 6 minutes later, the Devils would pull their goalie, and they were in full-scale attack mode. Let me tell you, if this game had gone on maybe another minute and a half, this might have gone into overtime because they were They were hungry. Yeah. They were into it. It was some scary moments for sure. Jesper Bratt ended up making it 4-3 with 32 seconds left. Hughes and Nico Hischier on the assist for that one. And they were still buzzing after that, but then they just ran out of time. And fortunately for the Caps, and it was a regulation win. Three stars of the game. Obviously, you had to make Backstrom the number one for his goal and assist. McMichael, the second star, captain, got the third star. Caps only got 22 shots on goal for this game, a little low for them. That concerned me a little bit. That's probably the one stat I'll point out, because usually they get around 30, 35, sometimes 40, but less than 25, that's kind of a red flag. And that tells me they had a little bit of trouble maybe with the Devil's speed. So I think some tweaking needs to be done there, obviously, because some of these teams that are ahead of them in the standings are that fast, and if not faster. So they're going to have to need to figure that out. And in fact, they're going to be playing one of them here tomorrow night. Okay, so that was the week that was. Quick rundown of previews of coming attractions for the next week. I just gave one of them. Tomorrow night, still a Cap 1. Against the Carolina Hurricanes, 7 o'clock puck drop. And then, I don't know how they swung this, but you tell me. Then they're off for practically a week. There's no more games at all for them until the 3rd of April. So that's the last game in March. 3rd of April, that's Sunday. We'll try to record ahead of that. Minnesota for the home game there. Then they're off another 2 days. Then they round out the home stand against the Lightning. That's a 7:30 puck drop. And then they end the week in Pittsburgh for a 3 o'clock start against the Penguins. And then the schedule really ramps up, but that's all we're going to talk about for now. We'll cover all of that next week. Before we go on to our last segment, did either of you pay much attention to what happened in the trade deadline?
No.
I definitely saw what happened with Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
Vegas,
was crazy.
Vegas isn't – well, Tom Gobble said they're a hot mess right now as far as all of their deals. And that's probably the best way to describe it. I don't know how they're going to figure that out.
I'm enjoying it, to be honest. Now they're coming back to earth and being like a real, you know, a real new team instead of all that success they've had so quickly.
Yeah. And they're actually in danger of missing the playoffs right now. Right now, they're out of a playoff spot. That would be kind of interesting to see and see how their fans who are used to them winning will take that. But yeah, they're a hot mess right now. And of course, what happened in Caps land was, we had to say goodbye to Daniel Sprong. I said a few weeks ago that was probably – we should probably be preparing ourselves for that. He goes to Seattle, and we get Mojo back, Marcus Johansson, who, if you've been following the team since I would say 7 or 8 years ago, you should remember him. In those days, he's a pretty capable second and third liner, still is. So I think that was a good swap. You lose a little bit of scoring touch, for a guy that's more responsible in his own end. I really hated to see Sprong go, but the way the coaching staff was treating him, there was no way he could have stayed, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I'm happy to have Marcus Johansson back because, you know, we unfortunately had to say goodbye to him when he was traded to New Jersey, and it was a shock to my soul and to his too, it seems. So I'm happy he's back.
No, I'm on the fence.
You are?
I am. I don't know why. There's something in my gut that's just, I don't know. He may have to be one of those. He may be on my Orloff list.
He's going to have to earn his place back in your heart, basically.
Yeah. Well, he never. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, love the Swede thing. Absolutely. I just don't have anything against him, but I just am kind of meh on him. So I'm hoping, you know, everyone proves me wrong, but I wasn't doing cartwheels.
I was actually starting to like him. I was down on him for his first few years. I was actually starting to like him around the time he was traded. And so I kind of missed him. But then, I mean, when you realize, well, you know, who do we end up getting in his place? If you can remember that. Who took his place?
God.
Devontae Smith-Pelly.
There you go.
And that, obviously, he's a hero. So.
And that paid dividends.
Yeah, that did. That's
obviously.
That's fair.
And he did what, well, okay, so Marcus Johansson did score the series-winning goal in round one in, what was it,
in
2016, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah.
2016 or 2017. He did score the series winning goal against Toronto there. So he does have that to his credit. But Devontae Smith-Pelly, had it not been for him finding Lars Eller in game three of round one of 2018,
right,
there probably would have been no cup.
True.
And we probably would not have a lot of players we still have now. They were going to blow that team up.
Right, exactly. And also, had it not been for him tying the cup-winning game halfway through the third period also. So, you know, you hate to see a guy like Johansson go, but when you consider what we got for him, it was a great deal. And now, of course, we got him back. We got to, you know, talk like we're in the now. So we got him back. I think he's got some good hockey left in him. And I think he'll do us some good. He's pretty good in his own end. So I think that the forwards need to help out more in defense, and he will help with that. So I think that was a good deal. I am not so sure about trading for an injured player, this Larson guy. I'm going to have to see what he does. They're talking about putting him in Axel Janssen Fjällby's place. I don't know about that, because I think AJF has done pretty well for himself. He fits on that fourth line. As soon as Dowd comes back, I think they should play together for forever. But we'll see. We'll see, I guess. So. Okay, so it's still Women's History Month, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show. We have another special guest on with us, who, of course, is a female Caps fan. We're celebrating that all this month. So, of course, a little unique as well in that. Fatu, you are also a person of color, of course.
Yes, so, I am a black woman.
Yes, and you are so you have kind of a dual distinction, as it were. So my first question would be, what would you say your overall experiences are being a female fan out in social media and dealing with some of those I like to call caveman types who might not accept that there are women out there who know a lot about the game and can express that opinion very well, such as yourself.
Oh, thank you. So I would say for me, it's mostly positive because, you know, anybody who sees my tweets, I I'm a jovial fan, but you absolutely get those, you know, and I have no issue saying, oh my God, the Caps are the most beautiful team on earth. Oh my God, Tom Wilson is so dreamy, because that's on you if you want to put the stereotype that I'm just a woman who likes the game because players are cute. I can talk about the game too, and I am comfortable living both of those lives with no issue. But you definitely get the cavemen who want to talk to stat you to death and to say you don't know the game because you don't know XYZ, or they think you don't know XYZ, or you don't explain things XYZ. And, you know, I usually just retweet them and laugh at them and move on. It's great being a Caps fan, and you know, the Caps social media world, they're incredible. Never had any issues with them. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, like, for example, I'll say, like, when John Cherry violated, and I would say, I think that hockey has moved beyond having the Don Cherries of the world. And you always get those crazy fans who like him to come out and say, do you even know who Don Cherry is? I was like, absolutely not. I just tweeted about him because I don't know him. You know, you keep it, you don't take them serious. I don't take them seriously, and I move on because that does not ruin my day at all.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. So you don't generally get confronted by that type who says, well, what are you doing here? You don't know the game or anything like that.
That happens in person. That happens in person. That has happened in person. But I would say my it's more generally positive, and folks find me humorous and funny and find, like, you know, the way I view the game as a positive. But you definitely get those types of crazy fans who don't want you there because you're a Black woman. It's funny, like, for speaking of social media, so huge fan of Quentin Byfield in on the LA Kings, and anytime there is a player of color, a black man playing the game or making history or doing something cool, I am always going to cheer that on, no matter what team you're on. So on the NHL Instagram, I was like, excited to see this Black King do work. And somebody who had a blue check mark, I've never heard of this person before, I think he's like some hockey influencer, had such an issue with that and just went in on the comments like, why can't he just be a hockey player? Why does he have to be all this? And I'm like, you know, that's absolutely your problem, not mine. So I try my hardest not to engage. But I have some great writers who are friends, and they saw that, and they went off on him. Like, it's like, what is wrong with me expressing joy at seeing a Black man play hockey that it upsets you so much that you had to comment on it? Like, you tell on yourself, like, there's nothing more I need to do. It's just, like, something you need to think about. Like, why does that make you upset that I am showing joy at that moment? But right. It does bother me. And it's hilarious if it wasn't so sad, you know?
Well, it's good to see that you can put a positive attitude on that. But yeah, I mean, it's like somebody like that. Aren't you paying attention? We just celebrated Willie O'Ree. We retired the man's number. The Bruins retired his number.
In Boston.
He had a career of distinction, not just because he was a Black hockey player. He was also technically disabled in that he played the majority of his professional career blind in one eye, legally blind in one eye. So he had two things to overcome, if you think about it. So why do we celebrate that, and yet we can't celebrate someone else, also a Black player, making strides towards eventually? I think Byfield's probably one of the best young players out there, I think. And him, and I love this guy, even though he's on the Rangers, Keandre Miller. I wish we had Keandre Miller on this team. He could take our decor and run with it.
Absolutely. I'm so envious that the Rangers have him. And every time I go to MSG, I'm like, how do I get in the locker room? Bring him back to DC. I love him so much.
But yeah,
just know Ryan Reeves.
that's another story for another day.
That's just a personal opinion. But no, I agree with you guys. There are fantastic players out there that I admire. And it's like, why do we even have to? Social media jerks.
We can celebrate the fact that they're great hockey players and that they are a person of color, that they're Black or Asian American.
Who cares?
You know, we can celebrate both at the same time. There is nothing wrong with that at all.
Absolutely not. And, you know, because of players that look like him, they're going to have other players looking up who want to continue playing because they see themselves represented.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that can only grow the game and be a good thing. So
that
shifting.
Yeah,
absolutely. So shifting gears ever so slightly. So last question. What do you think of the women's game in general? Have you paid much attention to that? And as, of course, I'm speaking this, it's the Isabel Cup playoffs, the Premier Hockey Federation. That's the yeah. Women's League. They're playing their playoffs this weekend. Their finals game is actually tomorrow night. They play the semifinals today. I saw the game earlier where the Connecticut Whale beat the Minnesota Whitecaps. I was cheering for the Whitecaps, of course, because I love them. Yeah. But because they're Caps and because they've got Allie Thunstrom. But great game all around, though, played by both teams. So great on the Whale to make it to the final. But what do you think of the women's game overall?
I am the biggest Soraya Tinker fan. She is beyond being just an overall awesome player. She is an incredible person. And I think hockey is in great hands with her being in it and all the wonderful work that she's doing, you know, to cultivate, you know, young Black stars and mentorships, and her not being afraid to speak up when she sees her former team, the Riveters, having questionable partnerships, her not being afraid of that, but then also saying at the same time that, thank goodness I have the support of my teammates, that even though I am going to say something when I don't see things are going the way they should, I know that they have my back and respect my opinion. So hugest Soraya Tinker fan.
Absolutely.
So I'm rooting for everything she's.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Soraya Tinker, of course, for those who may not know, she's on the expansion team, the Toronto Six. She plays defense for them. Unfortunately, yeah. Toronto lost, I believe, in the first round against Boston this year. But speaking of the Toronto club there, she's in good hands because their ownership group was just taken yeah. over, just bought out by a consortium led by none other than the legendary Angela James.
Yeah. Who is it?
Yes, who in and of herself had a legendary career as a Canadian national and Olympic player and is also Black. So she's in wonderful hands as far as mentorship, but as you said, she's also forging her own leadership path as well. So I think, you know, it ought to be, I'm not going to say it ought to be, but we should see more examples of the men's game leading the culture change.
Yeah.
But where that void is, it's good to see the women's professionals stepping in and speaking out against injustices.
You know what? And the thing is, it always unfortunately starts with the women. Like, I think of all the leagues, and I say when it comes to leading these charges, the WNBA is number one. And it's always winds up being the women. And I sometimes we would love the support and for the men to start it, but I never lose faith, and I always know the women are always going to take charge.
And I'm still waiting for the NHL to, you know, cast whatever they can behind, you know, whatever, you know, women's entity wants to join up with them. It's just, unfortunately, they really haven't shown much interest. And of course, that's extremely disappointing, but maybe there'll come a day, hopefully in the near future, where that will change. So, but I think the women's game is in a good place. It's growing on its own in spite of the NHL ignoring it. And it may take a while. It may be a long road and a very steep hill to climb, but it's going to get to the point where, and I said this last week and the week before that and the week before that, the goal is give these professionals a living wage so that they don't have to shuttle off to another job. Make this their passion, their one and only income, and so that they can live off it and do what they were meant to do is
and
what
so
I want to see.
Absolutely. Like, the plan is and the hope and the prayer is that you don't just only see them in the Olympics every 4 years, that
right.
you get to see them thriving and being incredible. Like, let's be real. The men's hockey in the Olympics was absolutely boring and borderline unwatchable versus.
It was terrible. I stopped watching after the U.S. lost to Slovakia. Yeah. I was not interested, and the games just didn't excite me at all. Every one of the women's games I saw, there was one, Switzerland and Russia. That thing almost went to overtime. That was so exciting. And the gold medal game, U.S. Canada. That's always a barn burner. I'm never disappointed. Never disappointed in watching a women's game. Never.
And so I just hope that, you know, beyond the Olympics, that we, like you said, the paying the livable wage so that they can thrive and actually do this and actually get, you know, their recognition for the incredible work that they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One day it'll happen. I'm hoping it'll be within our lifetimes, but you never know. But it'll get there. It's just a matter of time. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. I want to end Women's History Month with a very interesting, quick little trivia story that I've only iterated. Well, I might have iterated on the Facebook page once or twice. My wife got it. Mrs. Blue Liner definitely got a kick out of this. But I want to put a bit of trivia question out there. Who was the first goalie in organized hockey to put on some sort of protection for their head and face? The key here is organized hockey. Well, it wasn't a man.
Yeah.
It was a woman. And her name, if I have this correct, I want to check my facts real quick. But she played for Queen's University in Toronto, appropriately enough. And she put on a fencer's mask because she had some dental work done in the week and she had a game upcoming, and she thought, okay, well, what am I going to do? Because if I take a shot up high and take one in the mouth, I'm done for. So she knew she was going to have to protect herself. So she got the notion to wear the fencer's mask and didn't do too badly. With playing, she only had to play with a couple, three games before she was fully healed. But there you have again, the women leading the way in
always
coming up with
right
something that's necessary to make the game better.
100%.
And there you have it. I think her name was Elizabeth Gardner. Now that I think about it, and it was either Queen's University or Toronto University. But she was the first in organized hockey to actually wear a face mask as a goalie to in an organized game. And this was back in the 20s and 30s, long before anybody else had come up with the idea. So I just wanted to put that out there as an interesting bit of trivia. As I always say, history is never against women. It's for women. If you look back, because it's not as if, you know, somehow we go back 50 years and they're not as ingenuous or inventive or imaginative. No, of course not. Some of the world's greatest inventions in our world have a woman responsible for them. And the thing that I work on for my living is probably the greatest example I can think of, the computer. The modern computer is, as we know it today, would not be what it was without the hundreds of women that put it together and used it and hooked it up to electronics and got it to do all the wonderful things it could do. And over time, it evolved. But it was those women who got the ball rolling on it. So I just want to end this broadcast by saying, I not only support women, I value women in all walks of life, but especially sports. And it warms my heart to see not only the present, but the future in such good hands. Now you see women in sports management, in key positions. You have a woman as a scout for a professional team, a pro scout, earning money as a pro scout. You have a woman helping, making decisions for a fully established NHL team, the Seattle Kraken, hired Cammy Granato. So we're making strides every day. We're not there yet, but it warms my heart to see that, because I love the fact that if it starts with hockey, maybe it'll end with the whole world, but women can do a lot, if not more, of the things that men can do. And I love to see my favorite sport open that up to the greatest minds and athletes that have ever played the game. It doesn't matter what gender, at least not to me. So I wanted to close this month with that sentiment. Call it maudlin or corny, I don't care, but it's one of my pet causes and will continue to be. So next month, I hope to have even more young ladies such as yourself. Fatu, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you for having me. That was awesome.
We loved having you on. So, again, thanks all of the ladies that came on this month, Amy Rothenberger, Lynn Riegert, Sherilyn Forster, all of you. Thanks so much for coming on. I know I'm forgetting someone.
Anna Knox.
Of course, Anna.
Kidding.
You are the one, Anna. You're the one that actually opened my eyes. So I actually must give you credit.
Thanks, gal.
I used to be one of those cavemen. I readily admit it, and you helped me open my eyes. So I actually do want to thank you here publicly.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so with that, we'll wind it up here, and hopefully we'll come out with the next week with a good record for the Caps. So keep on cheering. So this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that you really shouldn't be worried about your smartphone and TV spying on you. That's nothing compared to your vacuum cleaner, which has been gathering dirt on you for years. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
Yay, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.